MacCast, Monday, April 4th, 2005. The MacCast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If you're looking for a podcast related to technology, you'll find it at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Hey Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, just need to re-mention, because I haven't said it in a while, that the opening music is a track called Say Anything. It's from a band, Manda and the Marbles. You can visit them at mandaandthemarbles.com, and if you like what you hear, pick up their CD. And if you do buy the CD, please be sure to let them know that you heard them on the MacCast. Okay, let's see what news is going on around the Mac world. Mac Minis have been rumored as of last week as being available at Best Buy, and Mac Rumors is reporting that their listeners are saying Mac Minis are now showing up at different Best Buy locations. So if you have a Best Buy near you, you might want to head down and see if they have one of the new Mac Minis. There's a Time magazine article out right now that is looking at alternatives to iPods. They're calling them the iPod killers. Products like the Sony NetWalkman HD3, I guess a product called the Gigabeat from Toshiba, which I've never heard of. Of course, the iRiver H10 and the Zen Micros. They're citing that one of the major complaints about the iPod is the battery life in comparison to these other players, and that the closed case or the sealed case on the Mac Mini makes it hard to, or impossible, they're saying, to replace the battery, and that you just have to throw your iPod out when the battery wears down. And that's entirely not true. I will let you know that there are great replacement batteries available from Otherworld Computing. They're batteries from newer technology, and they will actually, in some cases, if you have an older generation iPod, like a first or second generation, double or triple the amount of original battery life that you had on that product. They also have replacement batteries for third generation and fourth generation iPods. I have a link from the show notes, but the website is macsales.com, and what's cool is they include a little tool and instructions that make it really easy to replace the battery. So, no problems with that. I'm not sure. Time obviously didn't do their research in that regard. But then they're also saying that another problem they see with the iPod is that these other players that are coming about have more features. You know, obviously things like FM tuners and built-in recording and built-in microphones are big. And then they also offer more flexibility in terms of format. And that's based on the fact that the iPod, in terms of purchasing music, you need to use the iTunes Music Store, which, if you really think about it, isn't a problem because the iTunes Music Store is the most popular music store on the net right now. So I don't find that a problem. Actually, I think the user experience and the ease of purchasing music on the iTunes Music Store does not compare to anything that the PC has available. And I've tried a number of the other services. I'm sure some PC users want to chime in and say how they feel about the experience on Napster or Sony Connect or some of the other services, but I think iTunes has it down. I think it's the easiest way to buy music. It's the easiest way to get it transferred into your iPod if you own one. I do agree that I think it'd be nice if Apple could open up the protected AAC format and make that available to other MP3 music players. We'll have to wait and see if that happens. It's probably not going to happen for a while because as long as the iPod is the most popular and sales are good, I don't see any financial advantage to Apple in opening that up. So until they've kind of worn out iPod sales, which doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon, I think the iTunes Music Store is going to be it. But I don't see that as a downside like Time Magazine does. I think it's an advantage to Apple. But anyway, chime in with your opinions, maccast@gmail.com. Oh, and if you want to see the Time Magazine article, read the Time Magazine article, I have a link to it from the show notes at maccast.com, so you can link directly to it from there. Okay, next up, if you're an Adobe user, Adobe announced new versions of InDesign and InCopy. They're going to be InDesign CS2 and InCopy CS2. I'm not familiar with InCopy. I think it's a new product for doing writing and managing that sort of thing. InDesign, obviously, is their page layout program. And they're saying they're going to start shipping in May, It's going to require that you have OS X Jaguar, or Panther. But what's interesting is there's no mention of Tiger, so I would assume it's going to be supported by Tiger, but does not directly stated in their press release. The full version of InDesign is going to be $700 US, with upgrades starting at $170 US. InCopy is the full price is $250 US, and upgrades are going to be priced at $90. So speaking of Tiger, we had talked a lot about the big April 1st announcement from Apple, and I'm not really sure if Apple played a little April Fool's joke on us or what, but obviously that didn't happen. But the rumor mill is still churning, and MacRumors is still saying that Apple will have a Tiger release very soon. It's reported that OS 10.4 is now Gold Master, which means it should be out for duplication. And one of the things that is fueling these rumors is apparently the Apple Store employees have a staff meeting on April 17th. So that's fueling speculation that we'll see a Tiger launch on April 18th. But again, we'll just have to wait and see. This rumor has really not come true yet. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm just waiting with bated breath for Tiger to be announced and find out when we can show up for our release party. But one thing, like I've said before, that really seems interesting is the Apple news has been very slow coming. There's not been a lot on the news front lately from Apple in terms of big major announcements. So usually when that happens, historically, something big is on the horizon. So we'll just have to wait for it, hopefully it'll be here soon. So you obviously listen to podcasts. I listen to podcasts, but do we really know how many people are actually listening? Well, according to Pew Internet and American Life Project, 29% of all adults who own an MP3 player have downloaded a podcast program from the internet. And if you take those numbers up and apply it to all of the MP3 players sold in the US, that amounts to 6 million Americans listening to podcasts. Now, I will tell you the details of this report. They did phone interviews with 208 what they call digital media player owners between February 21st and March 21st of 2005. And the survey is reported to have a plus or minus 7.5% margin of error. So they didn't interview, you know, 208 is not that many people. So when you take that and blow it up to 6 million Americans, and it makes it dramatic for the news headlines, but you have to look at it in reality. But another interesting thing they found that with that study was that almost 50% of MP3 owners who are 29 or under reported having had listened to at least one podcast. So just some really interesting numbers, strong encouragement for us podcasters that, you know, something's on the horizon and this is going to amount to something big. I find it also interesting they only did American listeners, and I know for a fact that I have a lot of people outside the US, the UK, Australia, India, Singapore, you guys are all out there. There's a lot of you all over the world listening to me, not just Americans. So these numbers are obviously large. I don't know if we can actually prove 6 million, but according to Pew, and I'm not sure what Pew stands for, but Pew Internet and American Life Project is throwing out these numbers, and it sounds like good news for podcasters. So the last thing I have for the news tonight is interesting, although a little vague. There's some more rumor reports that Apple is working on new hardware, and this comes from some manufacturers, from what I've read, that are reporting they have the go-ahead for a couple of hardware projects. And the first one is codenamed Q87, and it's described as some sort of update to an existing desktop computer, and one that would be targeting the consumer and educational markets. So obviously the first thing you think about is new revs of the iMacs or new revs of the eMacs. But some people are even going so far as to report, because the Mac Mini has been so successful, that maybe it's the first minor revision of the Mac Mini. So that's kind of exciting rumor. I would tend to lean more towards the fact that it's the new eMacs or iMacs that we talked, I think, on the last show, are being rumored to be announced along with OS X Tiger in the next big announcement from Apple. So that's much more likely, I think, than a revision to the iMac Mini already, or to the Mac Mini, excuse me, already. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. The second project is even more vague. It's codenamed M18. And the only real detail that was kind of leaked was that it's somehow desktop related. So a lot of people are speculating that it's possibly a new wireless or peripheral product from Apple. What I would really hope that it is, for me personally, is the FireWire device for hooking up external microphones and line-in sources from Apple. That was codenamed Asteroid and was supposed to be announced at the last Macworld. We've heard further rumors that Apple had to kill the project because it was just plagued with problems. I'm really hoping that's not true, because a device like that is very much needed by the podcast community, and it could really help Apple take off in that arena. And so I would like that to be the M18 item. But again, we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, as it goes with these rumors, they are rumors, and, you know, some may come true and some may not. But anyway, we always know Apple has something exciting under their sleeve. So now on to listener feedback. And actually tonight I just have two listener reviews to play for you. I haven't received a lot of feedback, which is actually great, because I've asked you guys to start using the MacCast.com website to leave feedback on the different shows. Now that we have a WordPress blog running everything, you can actually leave comments right in the listing for each show that I post. And a lot of people are doing that. So if you're wondering about answers to questions on the MacCast, please go there and check, read the comments for the show that you're listening to, and you'll find some great feedback from different listeners. And at the end of tonight's show, I'm going to actually talk about another outlet that I've set up for you to provide feedback and get your questions answered and things like that. Something very exciting. So I have a big announcement after these audio reviews. So our first review tonight is one that is, I think, long overdue. It came to us from Tom, who's a listener in Ireland, and it is a review of the iPod Mini. It runs about 2 minutes and 45 seconds, so here's Tom with his review of the iPod Minis.
Quick review of the 4 and 6 gigabyte iPod Mini.
Octopus Man.
Hey Adam, hey MacGeeks. This is a review and comparison of the new and old iPod Mini. First up, the iPod is such a well-known device, I'm kind of finding it hard to do a review on it. But I will cover its main features and give you reasons for buying it as a device. Straight off, if you use iTunes on either Mac or Windows, all you gotta do is plug in your iPod Mini to your computer, and it'll automatically try and sync all of your songs from iTunes directly to your iPod Mini. In my opinion, it's the easiest device to get music on that's available on the market. Also, getting music is so simple thanks to the iTunes Music Store. Navigation on the iPod is such a simple thing to do. Everything is based around the touchpad on the front. It basically works the same as a trackpad on a laptop, only it also has the ability to click. This makes the iPod or iPod Mini one of the easiest devices to get around. Now true, there are many other devices in its class that have more advanced functions, such as radio or MP3 recorder. Although, the standard iPod for $299 US does come with the built-in recorder feature. You do, however, need to get a separate microphone. Now I'm talking about extra features, I just want to cover one very small thing, which is PDA. If you do not actually need your PDA to input data on the road, the iPod has the function of calendar, contacts, and notes. I'm currently reading this from the iPod now. And as long as you don't need to actually input data, it's perfect for on the road. Okay, my two last things. Things for the iPod. It has beautiful design. It's the easiest thing I've ever found to use. And also, style. For the last 2 years running, it's been voted a must-have product in terms of style on the Irish market. And it has an enormous range of accessories and attachments. Against the iPod, it does have limited functionality. Many MP3 players of the same size and rough price have some more functions like built-in radios and built-in voice recorders. And the iPod Mini cannot take a microphone attachment. Also, new versus old. I bought myself the older model. There is no difference once you've installed the software update, other than battery life. So I'll hand you back to Adam. Thank you very much for a great show, Adam. Keep it up.
Okay, great, Tom. Thanks a lot. I'm not sure what that Octopus Man thing is all about, but pretty funny. Anyway, I wanted to comment on something that Tom mentioned in there that I think is really important if you are someone who's never used an iPod before, and that is the navigation on the iPod, the means of getting around and actually finding music, selecting music to play from playlists, things like that. Just the basic organization and accessing different tracks that are on your iPod. Apple has it down. It is by far the easiest MP3 player to use. And if you have not picked one up and tried it and you're using some other MP3 player, I just ask, go into a local store, pick up an iPod, and just play with the navigation and accessing music, and you will be shocked at how easy it is and how much it makes sense. And I have other MP3 players. I've tried other flash-based players. I've tried other hard drive-based players. And the one thing I keep coming back to with the iPod is that it has the navigation down. It is by far the simplest one to use. And that also goes with getting music on it from iTunes as well. I've tried a lot of the other programs. I have my iRiver, which I absolutely love. I think it's absolutely fabulous for recording. It has the best and highest recording qualities out there, but the little thumbstick that they give you in terms of navigating the device is just horrible. You know, if you try and go access your music on it, it's just confusing. A lot of the buttons have double functionality. It's a nightmare. And also, you know, they make you manage your music with their own software, and it's just nowhere near as good as iTunes. I know other devices let you just use the Windows Explorer on Windows or the Finder on the Macintosh, and that's a little bit nicer, but you'll find more and more as you research MP3 player devices that the on-screen navigation on the device is not up to snuff, not compared to the iPod. So I just ask, go out, try an iPod, compare it, and I think you'll find that it's really nice. So before this, I said we had two reviews tonight, and I actually, looking at my show notes, realized I kind of made a mistake there. I actually didn't lie, but just made a mistake. What I actually have as the second thing tonight is some feedback on the educational discount for K-12 students in the U.S. Apple, I found out, basically officially does not extend their educational discount to students in K-12s. It's only available to teachers and PTA board members and members of the school district associations, things like that. And I was just appalled by that, and James wanted to give me some feedback from a UK perspective. So this comment runs a little long. It's about 2 minutes and 35 seconds, but he makes some really great points and has some great comments in it.
Hi, Adam. This is James Norton from the UK. I've been a big fan of your show for a while now, and I've just listened to your most recent podcast and was quite shocked to hear that some high school students have been having difficulty getting Apple's education discount. The reason why I'm so shocked about this is that for a long time I've used the education discount from Apple. I've been a Mac user for quite a long time now. And I first bought my first Mac, I think when I was about 16 or 17, from my local computer shop. And I've been buying Macs ever since then, and Apple's products. And all I've ever had to do is just show my school ID. I mean, now I'm at university, but when I was in secondary school, which is the British equivalent of high school, they had absolutely no problem accepting my ID and giving me a discount. So I think it's grossly unfair that just because I'm British, I can get a discount, whereas you American chaps can't. I think that's very unfair. And I think you're completely right about the fact that it's not fair, and that once Apple gives you a discount, agreed, they might lose a couple of $100s, in my case, a couple of £100, but they will regenerate that revenue in later years, because the chances are that they, once that person has gone out and bought a Mac, they'll be a Mac user for the rest of their life, because, as we all know, Apple creates some absolutely fantastic products, and they're only shooting themselves in the foot by doing something as daft as this. I just really wanted to leave some comments on this, actually, because I think it's unfair that in some countries some people can obtain a discount, whereas in others you can't. So anyway, continue on with your great work on the show, and I look forward to listening to your next couple of shows. Cheers.
Cool. Cheers to you, James. And I will agree with you. It's definitely daft what Apple's doing. But I will let you know what I've kind of found out. And I don't think Apple's policy is different in the United States versus the UK. The official policy from Apple is that they do not offer the discount to K through 12. And I would assume in the UK that means secondary students. But what I found out is the reality is that depending on where you go, whether it be a campus computer store or your local computer store like a CompUSA here in the US or the Apple store, depending on who you get, they may or may not give you the student discount if you show your high school ID. I've had a couple people write in and say that they went to an Apple store and all they did was show their student ID and they got the discount. I even had one person who was a parent say he just told them he was buying it for his son who was a high school student and they gave him the discount. So it probably depends on the salesperson, what their mood is that day, and whether or not they'll give you the discount or not. Obviously, probably through the Apple store online, they're not going to extend you the discount if you're K through 12, but sounds like you can get it other ways through other retailers if you're lucky. So that's kind of what I found out. Hopefully that helps some of the listeners out there who are in high school and maybe want to pick up a machine. I totally agree that it's a bad policy on Apple's part to not extend it to K through 12 students, because I think once you are a Mac user, you are pretty much a Mac user for life unless Apple screws something up. Plus, you're probably likely to buy some other Apple device like an AirPort or an iPod or something else. And in addition, if you buy the iPod, you're probably going to buy music on iTunes Music Store, especially if you're a high school student. So, you know, it's Apple, you know, taking a $100 or $200 hit on a computer it's going to be made back very quickly. Okay, finally tonight I want to talk about user groups, and specifically I want to talk about the San Diego Macintosh user group, but just some blanket user group statements. If you have not joined your local Apple user group, I again, and I've said this on past shows, encourage you to go out, find your local user group, join it, support it, get involved, help other Mac users. It is basically, this podcast is an extension of my user group. Everything that I do on this podcast, basically, you can get the same benefits from your local user group. If you go to apple.com/usergroups, they have a search engine. You can find the one in your area. I encourage you to go down and join. And that said, I am a member of the San Diego Macintosh Users Group, and we have our general meeting. It's this Wednesday. It's at 6:30 at the Ramada Inn in San Diego. I will be there, so if you want to come down and meet me in person, that's a great place to do it. Before the meeting, they do offer a buffet dinner, and that starts at 5 o'clock. If you're a member of the San Diego Macintosh Users Group, you can get that at a discounted price. And this month's meeting is actually the membership renewal time, so it's a perfect time to join because you will get your full year's membership. And I'm going to give out the location, and I know this doesn't apply to everybody, so please forgive me on this, but I want to invite people in the San Diego or possibly LA area to come to the meeting and check it out. It's at the Ramada Inn in San Diego. It's the Ramada Inn at 5550 Kearny Mesa Road in San Diego, California. You can get full details on the meeting and directions if you go to the San Diego Macintosh Users Group website, www.sdmug.org. All right, thanks for letting me say that. That's the show for tonight. Oh, the big announcement. I almost forgot. So the big announcement is if you go to maccast.com and look over on the right, I have now added forum. I have added a forum to the Maccast. So this is going to be the new place for leaving feedback and more specifically for listeners helping listeners. I've set up a listeners area and I have a bunch of categories. I have hardware, software, and networking and internet Q&A. So if you have a question and you need it answered, that's going to be a great place to go. I also have areas for feedback, product reviews if you want to do a product review write-up, or just tell somebody about a Macintosh-related product that you really enjoy and use, or even if you want to warn somebody about a product, I guess. But anyway, the forums are there. I'm hoping it'll help alleviate some of the general questions I get in my email, which I still love to get, and you're always welcome to email me, maccast@gmail.com. But you may be able to get a more immediate response as I get busier and busier with the show by using the forums. So I encourage everybody to go there. It's free to go in there and look and read. Well, they're always free from a cost perspective, but you can go in there, view comments, and read everything. But if you do want to make a posting or reply to a post, you are going to have to register. The reason I do that is mainly just to prevent spamming and spammer clients from posting stuff up there. So it will be monitored. You'll have to verify your email address. But go in there. It's free to register, free to post, and it's going to be the best way. I also have a show area where I will post questions that I get via email, and we're also going to do our contest there. So we have the top 10 reasons to switch to Macintosh contest running. I've started with a couple entries I've received there. I've posted people's responses or entries to the forum website. So just go down, look for the contest area, and you'll see the top 10 contest. If you want to submit an entry, please submit it right on the forum. It'll be the quickest, easiest way. You can send it via email, but I'm just going to copy and paste it right into the forum. So anyway, check out the new forums. I think you guys will really like it. I have not customized the design or anything like that, so it's kind of generic for right now. We're kind of in beta, but I will hopefully soon update the look and feel to give it more of a maccast.com feel. So stay tuned for that. Anyway, that's the show for tonight. As always, visit the maccast.com website for the show notes and links to everything I talk about. You can send me email, maccast@gmail.com, send MP3 audio comments. You can always call the Maccast hotline, 206-222-2788, 20-MACCAST-8. And if you want to support the show, a great way to do it is to go to shop.maccast.com. Oh, I almost forgot the forum URL. If you want to visit the forums, it is forum.maccast.com. Anyway, I'm going to leave you tonight with some new music. This I received an email from Joanna. She's a Maccast listener, and this is her husband's band. They're called The Pickpockets, and this track is called Lies in Stereo. I hope you enjoy it. If you do, visit them at www.thepickpockets.net, and I will see you all next time.